M is for Mason.
G is for Graham.
B for Betcha.
This is the MGB Wrestling Podcast, the podcast with PG rated material accessible to wrestling fans of all ages.
My name is Graham Bagshaw, and my co-host and creator of this podcast is proof that wrestling fans live with their parents, my 10-year-old son, Mason. All right, Mason, this is our next to last episode before we go off to England. At the point we're recording, we actually have 2 days left of school, so by the time this comes out, we'll probably be in our last day. I might actually be out of school at that time. We get to finish early normally on the Friday. All right, probably obvious, but what are you looking forward to most over the summer?
England.
I figured. All right. Now, once again, we had issues with recording again. I think we say that every week now. I think we should just take that as a given. You're actually playing your playoff games now for baseball. You actually have potentially 3 games in 5 days. You also had a practice as well. So by winning last night, we actually have Wednesday off, which is today when we're recording this. You have a game tomorrow. So that was why we had to record today. And if you win that, then you make the championship game on Saturday. And if you lose, then you get to play again on Friday. And if you win that, then you get to play in the championship game Saturday. So there's a potential for a lot of baseball coming up this next week. So we needed to record today. So Mason's had to watch very short highlights. With you getting to do that, I try to watch some slightly longer highlights. I actually had a little bit more time this week than you. Normally it's the other way around. All right, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at MGB Wrestling Pod. And you can follow me at Mr. Bagshaw. Also, listen to the other podcasts on the Visionaries Wrestling Network, Ringside Rant on Monday, Caden Nation on Tuesday, Upstate Unplugged on Wednesday, and View from the Top Rope on Thursday. And the card for this week. In match one, we're going to look at Mason's WWE update. Match two, this week in wrestling news. Match three is our trip to VCW. Match four is Are You Smarter Than a Fourth Grader? Match five is Mason's birthdays. Number six, our highlights from Raw. Seven is Tweet of the Week. Eight is SmackDown. And nine is Podcast of the Week. In match one, scheduled for?
One fall.
Well, this was supposed to be Mason's WWE update, but we didn't actually have a chance to look at anything on Twitter at all. But you said you actually had some left over from last week, and I cut you off. So did you want to talk to us about some of those things that you had?
Okay, so Paige was saying, ooh, the sass on ya. Sonya Deville, they grow up so fast. Okay, you get your Money in the Bank qualifying match this Tuesday. Let's see if you can stand on your feet, on your 2 feet, sweetheart. So she's talking to Sonya Deville and setting up a match for Stephanie McMahon. Says Nikki Bella, I'm American Ninja Warrior. That I did not know Nikki Bella was on American Ninja Warrior.
I don't remember that either. Yeah, I must have missed that one. Didn't you have one about Kurt Angle that you wanted to share with us?
So this first grader, she was doing classwork and it said, just in your own words, describe Angle. And she put, he's an Olympic gold medalist. And they tagged Kurt Angle, and he said, that is exactly with caps. What an angle is.
I thought that was pretty cool that he actually responded to that. But yeah. As a math person as well, or a maths person, I certainly appreciate that as well. So with you not really having a chance to research anything new on that, obviously those highlights were a few weeks old. I said last week I was going to look at Brock Lesnar's Twitter update. I said it would be an occasional feature. It's going to be a very occasional feature. The only tweet that he's had, and this is the start of June now, where his last tweet was on April 25th. And it wasn't even his tweet. It was a retweet from Paul Heyman, which is what I said last time. This will show you how old the quote is. My client at Brock Lesnar and I are ready to make even more history. The accomplishments continue to pile up, and the box office records continue to be conquered by the beast. The reigning, defending, undisputed... And then he carried on like that. So he was talking about this lead up to the Greatest Royal Rumble. And actually the post before that was March 28th. So he really doesn't post anything at all. So that'll gonna be a very occasional segment, Brock Lesnar's Twitter feed. I need to get something that sends me, you can get like alerts when you get texts from different people. I need to find something I can set up for that so I can find out when Brock actually posts something. But he posts even less than Shane from what I can. In match two, Mason's takes. Now, I got two different ones for you. One I sort of gave you a little bit of info on, and it relates to our trip that we did at the weekend. And the other one that I told you ahead of time because I wanted you to give it a little bit of thought. So I'm going to start with the first one with Brian Pillman, the second. at Flying Brian Jr. It's Flying Brian's son. Now, we actually saw him at VCW.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Now, his pictures actually were, and I think it was set by VCW, not him. It was $20 to get a selfie with him. And it was $20 if you wanted an autograph. And we normally want both those things. So it would have been like $40. Now, actually, when I got home, I was looking to see, and we didn't get those. We weren't prepared to pay that. Now, I looked at this pinned post. So you can pin something. So when you click on your name, it's the first thing that people see when you look at your page. And his pinned post was this. Babyface 101. If a young boy named Casey, which happens to look exactly like a young version of yourself, comes up to your merch table and only has $2, you sign that 8x10 and you sell it for $2. Because it only costs $1 to print, and that's 100% profit. Good guy feels. Plus good guy feels. Now, I was kind of interested in that. I guess for a few reasons. What would you expect? First of all, what do you think of that? Do you think that that's a good policy for a wrestler to have? If you were in that wrestler's position, and you saw somebody, and it's easier to imagine because you're obviously that 10-year-old boy that he's sort of talking about right now.
Yeah.
And you only had $2.
I would just give it to him for free.
And I wondered about that as well. And it's kind of a tough one. Now, actually, he got a lot of grief for this. I was thinking, he did a really nice thing there. He actually gave him something that potentially was $20 from when we were there. Normally, probably at least 5, probably 10, I think, because just the way it goes. And, yeah, he was prepared to give it for $2. And people actually gave him grief for this. There was a lot of different comments on this. Cody Hall, who I think is another wrestler. Or you could have just done it for free, like you just said. I'm just saying, I'm giving free 8x10s to every disabled person of the show and taking pictures with any kid who wants one as the foreign heel. Why are you taking the kid's dollars and saying babyface? Somebody else says, I've given out more freebies than I can count. This kid was proud of his $2. This is Brian Pillman, sorry. This kid was proud of his $2 and wanted to spend it on something. He asked what he could get. Better to teach that kid that way so they grow up valuing money instead of expecting handouts. Now, I can understand that part as well. If you've got some money, then don't you feel like you've actually earned that?
Yeah.
So I can see that side of it as well. Yeah, he continued to get a lot of grief. One fan said, nothing wrong with what you did. If you did give it to him for free, then people would find something else to complain about, like, why didn't you throw in a free t-shirt or something like that? And people were saying things like that. I would have given him an autograph, and I would have given him a t-shirt and everything. Another one said, actually, you should have given it for free, because when he's in your spot and does the same, he'll see what a difference it's made to somebody else's life, thanks to you. Another fan said, I politely disagree. Giving my last $2 would make it mean more than giving a pity freebie. Not accepting someone's gratitude can be seen as an insult, even to a child. So, yeah, this really split Twitter. I don't think he expected lots of comments on this. He had like 50 comments on this. Another fan said, good move, man. Probably you're a lasting memory for him. Another fan, you're awesome. Your father would be proud of you. And someone else said, well, it looks like all I need to do is go to a show and have $2. I hope that nobody would be that cynical and pretend, oh, look, I only have $2. Can I get an autograph? I hope people wouldn't do that. And another fan said, you got worked. So in other words, you got conned. He probably had $10, but he only came up with $2. So now, I was kind of curious on that one. And someone else said, yeah, just give it, sign it for free. So there was a lot of different comments on that. I was kind of curious what you thought about that.
The one thing is, if you sell one picture, that's you make $9 profit.
Mm-hmm.
And it only takes $1 to do that. So give him the free one and you still have $8 profit for selling one picture.
You do. And I think one of the things he said is, look, I can't give a free t-shirt, like, because I've got to make a living as well. T-shirts are expensive. They're going to cost a few dollars to print. You can't just give those out as well. But, yeah, I don't know. I think it's kind of a tough one. But, yeah, and some of those pictures are really expensive. Elijah Burke was there, and same thing. I wasn't prepared to pay that. Hornswoggle was there, or Swoggle as he is now. And when we went to see him in AIW, we got a picture. An autographed photo. And we got a picture with him as well. You got to hold the championship belt because he just won the tag team championship belt. And I think it was $10. And at the time, that was the most we paid for an autograph. And totally worth it. And then today, all you could get, or when we went at the weekend, $40 for that. So big differences. And that makes me wonder how other organizations actually justify this as well. Now, it might just be that we're lucky. We've been to AIW. MCW we've not really dealt with because they're expensive as well. And Nova Pro.
Yeah.
And Nova Pro is normally pretty reasonable. In fact, the most expensive autograph we paid for was MCW. It was at $20 we paid for J.J. Dillon's autograph. But we got free tickets, so
yeah.
I was like, okay, I don't mind. And yeah, I thought that was kind of a big autograph.
We also paid $20 for... I got an AJ autograph, and Jackson
mm-hmm.
got a John Cena autograph at WWE.
And I thought that was fine as well, because they're actually really big posters. They're really colorful. And obviously we didn't get to see them sign it, but we know it's legitimately theirs. And I thought that was a reasonable one to pay for as well. But yeah, $20 just for a selfie. That's not even high quality. So anyway, I thought it was interesting, sort of the merch side of it, and I wanted to see your take on that. Now, the other one I saw, this is from Ronda Rousey's Twitter feed. And I saw Miss Rousey's 7th grade geography project. And I was like, oh, cool, she must have gone into a school and like taught a class. No, it's just a teacher who's called Miss Rousey. And she was trying to raise some money for her class, and Ronda Rousey must have seen it, and she gave her a little plug. So anyway, that gave me the idea. If you could have wrestlers actually in your school, what would you actually place them as? So this is the scenario. We've just finished the school year. They've decided to get rid of all the teachers for whatever reason, and they're going to bring in wrestlers to replace every single position in the school. So I told you this about 2 days ago, and I know a couple of your ideas because you told me, but I haven't heard much since. So go ahead, tell me who you're going to pick for, and it doesn't have to be just be teachers, it can be people who are working in the school system as well. And of course I want a reason why as well. All right, go ahead, give me some of your creative ideas then, Mason.
So for the school nurse, I picked Tim Donst.
Okay.
Because he's safety first, school nurses are safe.
Okay, and he's our local indie wrestler, sure.
And for the guidance counselor, I picked Laurel Van Ness because she's calming, she has a storyline with calming down Congo Kong.
She did,
so
yep.
I picked that as a school guidance counselor.
And not because she has experience with split personalities.
No.
Okay, all right, carry on.
My PE teacher would be Bobby Lashley because he's very strong, lightweight.
Uh-huh. And I actually thought PE was probably the most natural one because obviously they're athletic. PE is about athletics, so I thought that was kind of an easy one. All right, okay, what else?
And for security, I picked Sergeant Slaughter.
That's a pretty good one. Yeah, I like that one as well. Now, you don't have, and I said, probably think of high school because it gives you a bit more flexibility. I know you don't have security at your elementary school, but I certainly do at my high school.
And for music class, I picked Elias.
Good
choice. He plays a guitar, he sings really good.
He does, yeah, yeah. And I was sort of thinking as well, Jeff Jarrett possibly as well. But yeah, no, Elias is definitely a good pick for that one. Yeah.
So for math, I picked EC3 because he's in the top 1% and he should be very educated.
All right, now the one, and I tried to think of some of these as well. Now for me, the math one had to be Scott Steiner because Scott Steiner's famous for his math equations. And that's the guy who Paul hates on Two-Face Pod. He always talks about how he hates that. So that would have been my pick for math or maths. Okay, all right, go ahead.
For reading, I picked The Rock.
The Rock,
because he has to read the scripts and for his movies and all that stuff.
And that was actually the one I put out as a teaser. I was like, you picked Rock, which subject did you pick? And I actually thought you were going to go with drama because of his acting.
Nope, but
you
I said picked somebody
you,
else for
you. You said you picked somebody else. And actually, when we mentioned it to Mommy about that as well, she actually said geology, which is, I think, the best answer of all.
Yeah.
Because that's the study of rocks. But anyway, I didn't even think about that one.
For drama, I picked Tommaso Ciampa. He's a great heel.
Yeah.
I think it would be really good for drama.
Yeah, he really sells his role really well. I think that's a great pick. Yeah, I like that one. All right, what else have we got?
Plus, writing, Vince McMahon writes all the storylines.
Sure, yeah, no, I like that. Oh, you were pretty creative on this one.
Yeah.
I don't know how many you have, so I'm just going to say keep going until you can.
Yeah, that's what I always had.
Oh, that was all you came up with?
Yeah.
Now, I wrote some of the other ones down as well. Like, I was trying to think of, well, when we talked about English. Actually, you said one, you're going to have English. Didn't you say you were going to have Nakamura?
Yeah, that was just a joke one.
Okay, because I don't speak English.
Yeah.
You could do Japanese.
Like, no, speak English.
But I guess that's too easy, because you could just pick, like, a French wrestler, Andre the Giant. You could pick a German wrestler, and you could just do that for all the foreign languages. So that might. The only one, I'm trying to think of one of the ones I had on my list. Like, I had science. And I didn't really give it any thought at all for those ones, but I was trying to think how many different ones could I come up with. History I had as well. I don't know, JJ Dillon might be a good one for that. His Storytime podcast, he has a lot of knowledge on different
things. I feel
things
like The Rock should be history too.
Okay.
Because rocks are really old.
Sure. And I also had art as well listed, and I didn't really think of anything for that. I can't think of anyone who particularly draws necessarily, but anyway. And I did ask you as well, what about a principal?
Wait, I remembered one. I picked, for the janitor, Tyler Breeze, because he used to dress up as a janitor.
He did. He had that segment where they dressed up, didn't they, and he pretended to be that. And actually, Kelsey said, Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that one, so I asked her to explain that. And yeah, he was sweeping the stage as he was walking down to the front as well. Principal, did you go up with anybody for that?
No.
All right, I think it's got to be somebody who's...
Strict.
See, I think possibly a Vince McMahon might have been one for that one as well, but you already picked him for something else.
I already picked him for writing.
And perhaps Big Boss Man. That might not be a bad one for that as well. He's pretty, that'd be somebody who's pretty intimidating as well.
Yeah, I feel like he's kind of like Sergeant Slaughter, though.
He is a little bit, but you got to have somebody. I'd want somebody who's strong in my school, so. All right, and I think, oh, I did ask one more for you, but I don't think we came up with one. Somebody who could work in the cafeteria. That's kind of like that Tyler Breeze thing when they were dressed up as well, because they had things on the hairnets on and stuff.
Oh, it could be the New Day.
New Day, all
they
right.
make pancakes.
And they make pancakes as well. There
That's
you go.
Why.
All right, so we got some pretty good ones. If you got any others as well, you can certainly share those with us on Twitter. In match three, our review of VCW from the last Saturday. Now, we had interviewed on episode, I think it was 7, we interviewed Benjamin Banks. We've seen him again at Nova Pro since, and we got some pictures with him. And we really wanted to go see him at VCW. I've actually looked into VCW before we met Benjamin Banks. And this was, they had the Lucky 7 Battle Royale. Now, we hadn't seen a Battle Royale. We've seen lots of different types of matches, but we haven't seen that one. It was 2.5 hours to get down there, except it was the worst rain ever, so it was close. We got lucky to get down there in 3.5 hours, to be honest. So we wanted to see that, and I said, well, we're not going to review the whole thing, because we wanted to watch it. But I said we would try and pick our three moments. So, did you pick your three moments, Mason?
Yes.
All right, go ahead.
My number three is we went to Big Sean Studd's merch table, and we were going to get a t-shirt for me, and I wanted Sean F. and Studd. And it actually said F.
It did say that, so. It did. And as you rightly said, you're not going to be allowed to wear that at school.
No.
And I don't think Mommy would have been impressed with that one either.
So I couldn't pick that one.
No,
so
you couldn't.
I was pretty upset.
But then we did see one that was from his dad, Big John Studd, that looked like his robe, which I thought was really cool. And he said he had that in your size. And then he went back to look in his box and he didn't have it, so I picked a t-shirt instead. So you normally get the merchandise, so I actually got the merchandise this time. Now, the reason we got the t-shirt was we were just going for the autograph. And we told him, when we were at MCW in January on your birthday, we tried to get an autograph, but he actually wasn't there at the intermission because he was fighting straight after the intermission. So we had a few autographs, and we narrowed it down to two. And he said, if you buy a shirt, I will throw in a free autograph. So it meant the t-shirt was about $15, which I thought was about pretty reasonable. So we got the shirt, and then he actually said, he signed one of the t-shirts, and he said, if you come back at the intermission, I'll get the other one for you. But we needed a silver pen, because it was pretty dark. And, yeah, I don't think he could, nobody seemed to have a silver pen, so we didn't manage to get that one. And then we tried again towards the end of the match. We didn't realise he was actually getting ready to leave as we were still watching one of the matches, so we didn't get to get that. But I'm pretty sure at the end, he said, because I mentioned, he said, oh, post the picture later on Twitter, because I know wrestlers like to retweet that sort of stuff. And I said, we would do that. And I said, oh, you'll recognize it's Mason, because he has his own wrestling podcast, so that's his name on Twitter. My hearing is not good, but it sounded like to me that he said, I would be a guest on your podcast.
Yeah, sounded like it.
It sounded like it. So that's something we're probably going to have to follow up on as well. All right, what was your number two moment?
My number two moment is the Lucky 7 match.
Uh-huh.
The end of the match, it's Benjamin Banks versus
Diamond Victor Griff. Who is his tag team partner. And we'd actually said ahead of time, because we talked to Benjamin before the match, wouldn't it be cool like if it was you two right at the end? What would you do? And we actually thought that could happen. And actually the last three was Big Sean Studd and those two.
Yeah.
So we had three people we were rooting for, and it got down to those two. All right, so what happened in the end then?
Happened was Benjamin Banks, Diamond Victor Griff, they were fighting in the ring. And then Benjamin Banks, he won.
Uh-huh.
And then Diamond Victor Griff, he came back into the ring. He was going to give Benjamin Banks a handshake.
Uh-huh.
Benjamin Banks didn't.
Nope.
But he put the pinky up, and they did the pinky.
Correct. And that was the t-shirt that we actually got. We also got an extra t-shirt. Benjamin had just released a new t-shirt. So we got the Golden Pinky Society. So if they come back to Nova Pro, we've got a very unique shirt that nobody else will have up there. So, and that was kind of interesting because we thought, whoa, if these two have, because it looked like they'd fallen out in the match. And we're like, oh, if they're going to suddenly split up as a tag team and we've just bought a t-shirt for a tag team, then these are redundant straight away. But no, they did the Golden Pinky together. They did the pinkies up, and then they were celebrating together. All right, and that actually gives Benjamin Banks the Liberty Lottery, which we talked about before. He gets to come in number 20.
Yeah, they only have 20 people.
They have 20 people, and he gets to come in 20th. And the unique thing about that, now we know a little bit better, is they actually draw names around. They get people to pull a number out, and it tells you who's coming out. So the wrestlers don't know ahead of time if they're going in 1 or 19. So we're going to go back for that at the end of July, because I thought that was really cool. But we wanted to see that Battle Royale as well.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. What was your third moment? Also, I guess your first moment, depending on what
was the main event, and it was Pope versus, mm-hmm. I keep thinking it's Alexander James.
I know it's not. Elijah Burke.
Yeah. Yeah. Pope versus Elijah Burke. Elijah Burke.
No, Pope is Elijah Burke.
Oh.
That's his nickname. It was Brandon Scott, who actually has a connection to Benjamin Bax, because we talked about that. He was the person who we talked to who got him into wrestling a little bit.
Elijah Burke versus Brandon Scott.
Mm-hmm.
So Brandon Scott, he brought a chair on the ring, and the ref was distracted on the outside. He was looking at the ramp, talking to somebody that came in the ring. And Brandon Scott, he threw the chair at Alexander Burke, and then he laid down, acting like he just got hit by the chair.
Uh-huh.
And then
Elijah,
he laid down, acting like Brandon Scott, and hit him with a chair.
And the ref had his back to this, because he was actually talking to the owner of the company.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't remember quite what they were discussing. But yeah, when the ref turned around, he's like, whoa, what's going on here? But yeah, so Brandon Scott's plan certainly
And then they both got up at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And then the match just went off.
And that was a really good match, actually. That had quite a few moments in it. And we'd forgotten, because we assumed that the Battle Royal was going to be like the big match. And then we're like, here comes the main event. We're like, whoa, I thought that was the main event. So that was nice that we had that match right at the end there. And I thought that was pretty cool. Now, I think I've gone for some slightly different moments to you, actually. So my third moment was, actually, we noticed that there was a wrestler there, Wes Danger Rogers.
Yeah.
And he actually had safety first written into his ties. Now, we already talked about Tim Donst, who's also known as safety first. So we're kind of curious about that one. Now, I did ask a question on the, I can make sure I get it right, the Squared Circle Sound Off. Podcast, and that comes out on Thursday, so by the time this podcast release, it will be out. And we asked Tim Donst, do you actually know about this guy? Now, if I remember correctly, though, Tim Donst has only been safety first for less than a year. So it's possible the other guy might have been safety first before. I don't know if I told you this, Danger Rogers actually appeared at Nova Pro.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he was at the Sink or Swim in 2017. I can't find a Twitter feed for him, but you can find his name just written but not tagged. So it's, I don't know, he might not have been safety first then either, but... So that was one of my moments. All right, my second moment was Benjamin Banks winning the Lucky 7 Battle Royal. We got to see the Money Shuffle.
Yeah, that's cool. I like how he's doing
that. Yep, he was doing his dance. And we'd heard him talk about it. And I've seen clips of it before online, but it's not the same. When you're actually there, and it definitely deserved a Money Shuffle, because now he's got a chance to defend his Liberty Lottery, because he actually won it last year. And my number one moment was Big Sean Studd actually did it was a chokeslam, but really it was a rock bottom. Effectively, on Benjamin Banks, who's nearly 400 pounds. And as you could hear the sound as the impact as he hit him. I don't think anyone else could have lifted Benjamin Banks except for Big Sean Studd. But the part that I liked about it was the vibration sent all the people who were in the ring over the top of the ring and eliminated like three or four people.
It was just Jake Hollister.
There was more than one person that got eliminated. It was kind of, some of them hung on and then climbed back in. All right, in match four, are you smarter than a fourth grader? Now, in match two, I talked about wrestlers having pinned posts on their Twitter feed. So I was wondering, could I find some other wrestlers, read you their pinned tweet, and you tell me which wrestler it is? This turned out to be really painful in the end. Not every wrestler has a pinned tweet. So this was kind of difficult to do, okay? All right, some of them I have to take out key names within the tweet, or else it just gives it away. So, for example, it's not, but if it was, I'm going back in the old days. So if it mentioned, like, my tag team partner, Enzo Amore, then obviously it would be Cass, okay? Big Cass. So I've had to cut some names out. All right, so let's see how you can do on these ones, okay? All right, performing in the ring with my wife, Bleep, was one of the greatest moments of my career. But standing beside her in life is a daily reminder of how amazing, hardworking, and inspiring she truly is. All right, who do you think that pin post is from?
The Miz?
All right, I'm going to give you one more clue, okay? I bleeped out one of the words. Performing in the ring with my wife Bleep at WrestleMania was one of the greatest moments of my career. But standing beside her in life is a daily reminder of how amazing, hardworking, and inspiring she truly is.
Okay, so I might have to go through a lot of the matches in WrestleMania.
Okay. Well, somebody who fought with his wife. That should narrow it down quite
dang it. It's not John Cena. They did fight.
Correct.
This WrestleMania?
Well, it doesn't say, but yes. It would be amazing if John Cena's pin post was like 3 years or 2 years or whatever it was.
Oh, okay. So, This is hard.
So is this WrestleMania, I will tell you that. This could be your lowest ever score then, because this is one of the easiest ones ever.
I don't really know. Undertaker was in there. Michelle McCool wasn't with
Undertaker. No, she wasn't. Nope.
Oh, Stephanie McMahon. Triple H.
All right, you got one. Okay. Next one. This was pinned on June the 1st. My name is Beep. The company is no longer called TNA. It's at Impact Wrestling. And I still do the Canadian Destroyer.
Petey Williams.
I know you're a big fan of Petey Williams. I thought if our listeners don't listen to Impact, that might give you a head start at this point. All right, you got two. All right, this one's pinned from January the 19th. Reclaiming my time, reclaiming my coins, reclaiming my energy, reclaiming my business, reclaiming my edges, and reclaiming my spirit. I think the main one is probably reclaiming my coins. All right. Who posted that one?
I feel like it's Benjamin Bang.
Now, I just told Mason that to make this a little easier for him, I'm going to give him a little handicap. I'm going to say whether the person is male or female. And then you're not going to hear that, so you got to make sure your guess is a little more difficult. So he actually knows now if this person's male or female.
Reclaiming my coins. I wonder, is this a current wrestler or is this an old wrestler? I'm trying to think of one that has something to do with money.
That's why I picked coins out as a key phrase.
Oh gosh, this is so hard. I feel like...
Giving up on this one?
I'm just going to have to make a guess then.
Well, I'm going to give you half a point anyway, even if you don't get it.
I know.
Seeing as you've already said half the name.
Wait, what? I did? I feel like... What did I say?
All right, we're not waiting any longer because we've got to get all this
recorded. Oh, Sasha Banks!
All right, correct. Sasha Banks, that's three. All right, June 3rd, the all-new blank tonight, only on E! Channel, 9, 8 Central. Make sure to set your DVRs and timers. We take you back to Raw 25 and more. Bleep, bleep, and bleep.
Mick Foley.
I forgot to give him his clue, so I just
whispered. Oh, could you say that?
Yep, all new blank tonight on only on E! Channel, 9, 8 Central. Make sure to set your DVRs and timers. We take you back to Raw 25 and more.
I feel like that's Stephanie McMahon, because she's the owner of, she's the general manager of
Raw. Somebody who has a TV show on E.
Oh, I don't know what E is.
It's a channel on TV.
Oh, that's no, I know it's a channel on TV, but I just don't know what channel it is.
E. That's the name of the channel. It's E for Entertainment.
Oh gosh. Somebody that has to do with Big Raw. She's promoting Raw 25. They're promoting. It has to be a hierarchy.
It said we take you back to Raw 25. So yes, it's definitely them rather than one person. See how it makes you pay attention to the wording? So it's not one person, it's two people. They have the same account.
Who would have the same account? The Nikki, the Bella twins?
Is that your answer? Do they have a TV show? Okay, is that your answer then?
No. Total Divas.
Alright, I need an answer from you.
Fine, I guess I'll go to Bella twins.
Correct. The show's called Total Bellas. That's why I couldn't read you the answer. That's the spin-off series from Total Divas. Oh. Alright, actually, I think you got every one so far.
Yeah, I got four for four.
Alright. Power, this is from July 2007. Power comes in response to a need, not a desire. Hashtag motivation, hashtag never give up.
Never give up sounds like John Cena, but power comes in needs, not desire. I know that's Benjamin Banks.
It is Benjamin Banks, and I thought you might remember that better than everybody else. So, correct. All right, 5 out of 5. All right, January 22nd. Open your third eye with the new psychedelic t-shirt. From blank.
Open your third eye.
Mm-hmm. It's somebody who's very spiritual.
Oh, Matt Hardy?
This one is male. I should have told you that one.
I think it's Matt Hardy, because he is very spiritual. But it also could be Bray Wyatt. They both are. I think, Matt Hardy with the mower of lawns. I'm going Matt Hardy.
I'm tempted to give you half a point. Bray Wyatt. It's Matt Sydal.
Oh.
Remember he had his guru? Josh, I can't remember his name. Perhaps you missed those ones. All right, I knew that was a tough one. Matthews. I told you, it was really... Josh Matthews, thank you. It was really difficult to find people who had pinned tweets.
I tried to mix it up
and not just put all WWE ones in either. All right, so no, you didn't get that one. So was that five? You still on five? One, two, three, four. 4 out of 5. May 23rd, I made a movie that pays homage or homage to films that inspired me and a generation with grits, guts, and heart.
There's two people that it could be.
Okay.
It could be John Cena
mm-hmm.
and The Rock, because they both do movies. And
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking it's probably going to be The Rock, because he does more movies.
Okay. Is that your answer?
Could you read it again?
May 23rd, I made a movie that pays homage to films that inspired me and a generation with grit, guts, and heart.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go to The Rock. There's not many
films. Correct. It's The Rock.
Yes.
All right. 5. April 10th. Completely overwhelmed with the love and support. Thank you, everyone. Seriously, it means so much to me. This isn't the end, though. It's just the beginning of something special. Hashtag thank you. Hashtag this is my house.
Oh, that sounds like Roman. Because he says this is... Oh, Ronda Rousey?
Is that your answer?
Yeah.
No, it was Paige. After
oh.
she announced her... It was when her neck injury.
Oh.
And then she later became the, obviously, the
general
manager of SmackDown. Okay. All right, so still on 5. All right, last one. This is really difficult, but there's a reason why I've included it, though. I don't think you're going to get this one. If you're new to my work, I say this is the best representation of who I am. If you have a bit of time, give it a watch. And then there's a YouTube link.
Can you tell me what the YouTube link is?
I didn't write it down. It wouldn't have helped you anyway.
Oh, if it was Reputation, I probably would have went Ronda Rousey because her song is Bad Reputation.
Mm-hmm. Representation.
But I know,
mm-hmm.
I know. But... this is hard.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get it. But there's a reason why I included it.
Mike from Nova Pro?
No, it's actually Johnny Gargano.
Oh.
And the reason when you click on it, it actually takes you to a Johnny Gargano documentary, Part 1, which is 15 minutes. So the reason I was excited by this too, well, two reasons. One, it's a Johnny Gargano documentary, which is 15 minutes long. But Part 1 suggests...
what?
That there must be a Part 2.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a Part 2 as well. There's a 9-minute one as well. So at some point in the near future, we got a 24-minute documentary on Johnny Gargano to watch. So if you want to watch that and say anyone else, just go click on Johnny Gargano's Twitter feed, and it's his pinned post. You can watch it. Also, it gives you recommendations for other things to watch. This is from 3 years ago. 2 years ago, there's also one about him and his wife, so Candice LeRae. So there's a documentary about those two as husband and wife in the wrestling history. So we got 3 documentaries to watch. So I knew you weren't going to get it, but if I hadn't written this down, I would have forgotten this, actually. So that was the only reason I included it. So I think you missed 2 then. You missed Johnny Gargano, not surprisingly.
Okay.
You missed Paige, and Matt Sydal was kind of a tough one as well. So let's look. How many you scored then? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So
oh.
you got 6 out of 9. So you actually raised the standard a little bit.
Did I get a
so
half
we'll have
for
see.
Matt Sydal?
No, you picked the wrong Matt. I guess to make it interesting, it's 6.5. All right, so if anyone gets 6, then they don't get a tie, do they? All right, I'll give you 6.5 then, because you did say Matt. All right, in match 5, Raw this week was in Houston. All right, Mason, I know you didn't get to see a lot of this, because you had to watch very short highlights. And what were your 3 moments this time, if you had 3?
My third moment?
Oh, you had 3 this
yeah.
week. Oh, good. Okay, all right.
My third moment was Roman versus Jinder backstage fight.
Uh-huh.
So Roman, he was looking for Jinder after his match.
Uh-huh.
And then he found Jinder. Jinder pushed Sunil Singh
he did.
And just threw him
he
down.
Just sacrificed
and he started beating him up and threw him into the, like, I don't even know what that was, the car garage.
Whatever,
yeah,
whatever yeah. it was backstage.
And then he got, how come they come super quick? When Jinder Mahal is getting beaten up, not even a champion, nothing.
Correct.
Not even the Money in the Bank match.
Correct.
Didn't even get a chance.
Uh-huh.
But your general manager.
And that was SmackDown, but perhaps people on Raw a little better.
And it's the owner's son?
Sure.
Why
yeah.
would he get beat up but and get more respect than Jinder?
Get
less respect than Jinder.
I agree. I didn't think it was one of my moments, so go on, move on to number 2. I don't have anything to add for
number
that
number 2 is Strowman smashes the ladder with his bare hands.
And I knew you were going to pick
it. I know it looks so flimsy.
I watched
it
first.
Flimsy.
And I didn't think it looked flimsy to begin with, but the fact he smashed it with his hands means it was flimsy. And I wondered if I thought you were actually going to pick this as number 1, because I was like, this is really going to appeal to Mason. It would have been my 4th moment if I could have had a moment. And it kind of was weird, the setup to it. Like, why is Bobby Roode putting a ladder halfway between the ring and, like, the announcer's desk and set it? And I couldn't really
he
see where it came from.
He wanted to slam somebody through it.
He just wanted to hide so he could duck under it and Strowman could chase.
My number 1 moment was Curt Hawkins. He was about to win. And then Baron Corbin, he comes out. And then he gives an end of days to whoever his opponent was.
Apparently it was James Harden. Now, James Harden is a player for the Houston Rockets.
I know.
Rockets,
that
is, it wasn't him, but it was just a wrestler whose name was James Harden.
Yeah.
That was supposedly the thing. But yeah, that was. He said that he wasn't going to lose 200 times in a row. He was going to make sure he got the win. And if he did, everyone in the audience was going to get a free taco.
There wasn't enough for them.
No, there was nowhere near enough for them. I don't. Perhaps it was just for the front row then or something. But yeah. And I thought about that one too as well. I kind of felt sorry for Curt Hawkins because he kind of did deserve the win on that one. But yeah, Baron Corbin's decided that he's going to. He did, and yeah, there was not much that can happen.
He didn't have a beard though. It'd make more sense if he had at least have a beard.
Well, I think they just picked it. I don't think he was supposed to represent him. I just think they just picked a random name, and they just picked a name from the Houston Astros. Sorry, not the Astros, the Rockets. Okay. All right, my number three moment was, I went with the B team winning again. They had their Battle Royale with the tag teams, and yeah, no, I kind of liked it. I'm all for the B team to keep winning right now. They're undefeated. I don't want them to beat Matt Hardy though and Bray Wyatt, but I am looking forward for a good match. I like their enthusiasm.
Do they have a name yet?
The B team.
No. Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt. Are they just called Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt?
I don't know. If they have, I've missed it. Yeah, I don't think so. I think it's just they just announced them as the two names as far as I can tell. I'm kind of surprised. You'd think they would come up with something.
Yeah, it should be something creepy.
Something with Woken in it, I thought would have made sense.
The Woken Lantern.
Anything. Just something with Woken in it somewhere. Or they could have one of their catchphrases in there, or they could have anything. All right, my number two moment was also the Curt Hawkins thing. I felt really sorry for him.
Yeah.
And my number one moment was Elias. He got a big push at the start. He got to do the song. He got to open the show. And he got made fun of Houston and sang about them, about the Rockets being terrible. And when the Warriors came to town, they were going to crush them. And then he got a match against Seth and Roman Reigns. He is getting a really big push right now, and I like it. I like the first half hour of the show. He got so much time. And not only that, he got to win that match as well. So they're really doing well with pushing him right now.
He got to pin the Intercontinental Champion.
He did, yeah. He got to pin Seth. And Seth's been really over the last few weeks as well. So they're really being serious with Elias right now.
Yeah.
Amazing. I don't think when he was on NXT anyone thought anything like that. And once again, the crowd were totally booing him again. Boo for all his comments. And then as soon as he says, what does WWE stand for? They're all totally back on his side again. Walk with Elias. It's amazing how he can do that switch, that they hate him, but then they love him in the next moment. I really like it. And I do like that finishing move. I think that the drift away just looks so nice.
Yeah,
it looks really good. And Matt said that when he was on, he really liked watching that move as well. All right, let's have a look at what the top 10 was according to YouTube, the one that WWE puts out. All right, they asked, number 10 was the interview with Renee Young where Matt Hardy asks, are you woken? She looked very uncomfortable in that interview, but I thought she played a really good role in looking uncomfortable. Number 9 was Corbin with the End of Days, which we just picked. Number 8, Bayley came out and helped Sasha and Ember Moon. So, I've heard a few people talk about this. What is the deal with Bayley and Sasha? Like, they're best friends and they're enemies and they're best friends again. And I actually posted today on Twitter. I was like, the only thing I can relate it to is, like, high school girls. They're like that all the time. They'll be best of friends and then they'll fall out and then they'll be best of friends again. And I don't know. Now, they're clearly not high school girls, but I don't know. It's kind of a strange story. All right, number 7, Sami Zayn challenges Lashley. Did you even serve in your country? I would think that would probably be the most insulting thing that you could do for somebody who's been in the services. All right, number 6, Reigns seeks out Jinder and attacks him. That was one of yours. Number 5, Nia and Ronda arguing after Natty gets injured about who was the better friend for her. Number 4, Elias does a DDT on a chair and then a drift away on Seth Rollins. And I picked just the match itself. I didn't pick the finish particularly. Number 3, Rhino gets eliminated and the B team wins, so I had that one. Number 2 was your number 2, was the ladder breaking in half. Number 1 was Balor with a coup de grace from the ladder on Kevin Owens. He was really high up on that. I always think the coup de grace would hurt anyway.
The thing, I think how you protect the other person is you do the coup de grace, but when you near the body, you push your legs up and then land on it like, your bottom hits first and then your legs, but...
No, your feet definitely hit. You can see that it's feet. I just think it would be really, really painful. But and all I the think, things, like, I don't think a lot of them would be nice, but that looks
like,
painful.
Hit their, like... I don't know.
I think wherever you hit them,
hit
it would
their
hurt.
Legs.
You're not practicing on me, that's for sure. As the light top. As you are, even if you're from the chair, there's no way I'm letting you jump on my chest. And he jumped from really high on that ladder as well. Alright, in match 6, we got our new round from last week, Mason's Birthdays. So, it's really difficult to find a night school class on wrestlers, so each week Mason will research two wrestlers who have their birthday coming up in the next week. One who he knows well or fairly well, and the other he either doesn't know well or at all. He will tell us a little about them and when their birthday is. So, who did you pick this week, Mason, and did you figure out how to read a calendar this week as well?
Yeah, I picked Mark Henry and Liv Morgan.
Oh, okay, so Mark Henry was just inducted into the Hall of Fame a few weeks ago, okay.
So, June 12th, Tuesday, Mark Henry turned 47.
Oh, wow.
Mark's favorite wrestler was Andre the Giant. While attending a wrestling event in Vermont, Texas, he tried to touch Andre but tripped over the barricade. Andre picked him up out of the crowd and put him back behind the barricade. During Henry's freshman year, he was already able to squat 600 pounds.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow, that's insane. And that's, of course, why he went on to be the world's strongest man. Now, I actually knew that story with Andre the Giant, and I'm not sure if it was... I did actually watch this year for the first time ever, the Hall of Fame inductions, so he might have told that story on there. Or it might have been on the Andre the Giant documentary.
No,
I'm not sure.
No,
it was one of those two.
It was on the Hall of Fame then.
Okay. But yeah, I didn't realize he was 47. He had a good career then. He managed, obviously, he had different careers in terms of doing different things, but to go for that long with a body that size, normally the body breaks down a lot quicker when you're that size, as we saw on the Andre documentary as well. All right, and your second person?
It's Liv Morgan's birthday.
Today?
Yeah, it's Friday.
Oh, okay.
So,
Happy birthday, Liv.
June 8th.
Uh-huh.
June 8th, Liv Morgan turns 24. Gianna Jean Daddio made her WWE...
Her last name's Daddio?
Yeah.
How do you spell it? Because you butchered a few names before.
D-A-D-D-I-O.
I would say that's probably Daddio. Okay, alright.
Made her WWE debut with Sarah Logan and Ruby Riott attending... attacking Naomi and Becky Lynch. Sometimes, something different about Liv Morgan was she was discovered by WWE in a gym.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Does it say... Oh, in my mind, I was thinking like a high school gym to begin with. But it's
Joe
like
DeFranco is a gym.
Oh, okay. So it's like a workout place. I was thinking the wrong type of gym to begin with. That would make sense. Okay. Huh. Wow. Talk about lucky.
I couldn't find much about her, though.
Well, I would say she's still fairly young and she's made WWE that early. And I don't think I've heard any podcasts with her particularly. So, yeah, I don't have much extra information on her. Either to throw in at this point.
But... I used Wikipedia.
Oh, you used Wikipedia again, so you still didn't learn.
I used Wikipedia for all of them. I didn't know it was a bad resource until you told me.
Oh, I forgot you did all of these, so everyone for the next 6 weeks then is possibly going to be spurious. I'm sure that's a true one. I don't think there's any reason why anyone would actually want to lie about something like that, so I'm sure that that's pretty good. Alright, match 7, Tweet of the Week. Now, I actually changed the one I was going to do. I actually had one about Matt Hardy, and I actually had one about Matt Hardy last week as well. But then I actually saw one, remembering that the original premise of this podcast was, and you say it at the start every time, PG rated material for people of all ages, okay?
Yeah.
This is from Alexa Bliss, at Alexa Bliss _ WWE, at 5:27 a.m. on Wednesday. So I'm going to guess she goes to the gym straight away in the morning, then, which kind of impressed me anyway. This is the tweet. I like how my mom's version of Road Rage is calling someone a poop head very quietly. So, I think with this being a PG podcast, I gotta admit, I'm guilty of this one. Particularly in Northern Virginia, where the standard of driving is absolutely appalling. I'm gonna confess right now, and I'm not always PG when I deal with it. Right?
No.
So, my tactic from now on is gonna be to say, and I don't even know if that came on the microphone at all, very quietly. And I'm gonna think of Alexa Bliss, I'm gonna think of her mom every time I see the bad driving. So that's going to be my tactic from now on. So I'm hoping I got a little life lesson out of this one as well. But I think something silly like that, that probably diffuses the situation because that's just going to make me laugh. Whenever I say that, that's just going to make me laugh because that's not something that I would say at all. All right, match 8. This was SmackDown from Corpus Christi in Texas. All right, what were your 3 moments for this one, then, Mason? If you have 3.
Yeah, I do have 3. So okay. My 3rd moment is Sonya Deville. She jumps up. And she tries to clothesline Asuka, but Asuka catches her, and they're rolling around the ground on the mat a little bit, and then Asuka gets Sonya Deville in an Asuka lock.
Yeah, and what's her tag team? Is it Mandy Rose? I always get those mixed up.
Sarah Logan?
It is Mandy Rose, isn't it?
Yeah. Sarah Logan, Liv Morgan, and Ruby Riott.
I always get those mixed
up. And it's Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose.
I always get those mixed up. Now, before that, and I know you didn't see the full highlights, Oscar actually took out Mandy Rose, who was on the edge of the ring. So she run into her, knocked her on the floor. Oh, you did see that.
And then she attacked Sonya.
And she had to, with it being a handicap match. Otherwise, she'd already interfered once in that anyway, so she had to take out both.
Yeah, probably.
I thought it was. I liked that as well. I thought that was a good move. I didn't pick it this one because I picked a different Oscar move, but I'll talk about that one in a minute. All right, number two.
Number two, Carl Anderson beat Luke Harper.
Yeah, I was surprised by that, and I know Carl Anderson. Every time I think of him now, I always think of you because that's your birthday.
Yeah. He's probably going to be the one that for my birthdays.
I'm sure he will be. And I was kind of surprised because, I'm going to say, I wasn't even thinking much about those guys at all when they got the tag team chance because they just really disappeared. But I know they've got a few big wins recently and now they're getting a singles win. Perhaps they're finally getting their push because they've been in WWE for at least a couple of years now.
Yeah,
well.
I saw it on the 2014-24. They were just entering.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they actually were great friends with AJ.
They were, and AJ was instrumental in actually bringing them across. And when he came across, they were like, hey, look, we need to bring Gallows and Anderson as well. So, yeah, he really helped them move back. Because they've got family over here as well. And I think they've been in Japan for a while. And they almost wanted to be with their family. All right, number one moment.
I didn't get the whole thing, but... So, AJ, he gave Nakamura, like, the first pen.
Uh-huh.
And Nakamura said, there's no ink. And then AJ gave him another pen. Uh-huh. And he threw it across the room and said... This pen is broken.
And they were there because they were signing their contracts for the money in the bank.
Yeah, but AJ slapped Nakamura,
uh-huh.
And then the security card just took him out.
Uh-huh.
Took him out. Nakamura grabbed the pen,
uh-huh.
And then signed it.
And I have this as my number one moment as well. I really liked it. Shinsuke was just so childish. It was really petty how he did it. Now, the thing that I didn't notice at the time was, and I read this afterwards, one of the security guards was actually Dean Malenko. Now, I guess I haven't seen him in a long time. I did not recognize that was Dean Malenko at all. And the other thing that I missed is the pen that he actually signed the contract with, he actually had it in his coat pocket.
Yeah.
So he just put his hand inside, got it, and signed. So he could have signed all along, but he's just trying to wind AJ up right now.
I feel like that AJ's going to be saying that Nakamura never signed the contract.
And well, they have the contract.
Yeah, I know, but the ref, does AJ knows enough?
They could just show him the contract.
I know, but the ref is going to be outside, and then Nakamura's going to come out, pin AJ, and then AJ's going to be like, you never signed the contract. But actually did.
We will see. All right, well, I gave my one moment, so I should go in reverse then, I guess, for this week. Number two, I had Becky Lynch beating Charlotte. Now, I was interested about that last week, because I said I like that they're giving Becky Lynch a push. I still think Charlotte might turn heel. I still think that's setting this up even more so now, because she didn't... It's her friend, but she did not want to lose to Becky Lynch, that's for sure. She loses momentum going into Money in the Bank, and I still think there's a possibility of a heel turn there. She hasn't been as successful recently, but that's one we're going to have to watch to see. And the third moment for me then was... I said I picked a different Oscar moment. I picked it at the start. So Carmella's in the ring with Oscar, and then Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose came out, and... they were trying to figure out a match, and Paige is like, whoa, I decide the matches here. But then she asked Oscar, who do you want? Do you want Sonya Deville, or do you want Mandy Rose? And in a broken English, I want Boar. And I thought that was really cool that she did that, and we got the handicap match. All right, let's have a look what the 10 moments were. 10th moment, Naomi jumps over the top rope and takes out, I think it was Lana and Aiden English. Certainly Aiden English caught Naomi. And I didn't notice this at the time, but it looked like Naomi mistimed her jump. She didn't flip around enough. And actually, Aiden English caught her and just held her and dragged her to the ground. She didn't get enough rotation, and she could have really injured her neck by the look of it. So it looked like Aiden English made a really good heads-up play on that one. Number nine. Cien Almas takes out... We think it's Sin Cara, right?
Yeah, it is Sin Cara.
Okay, so takes out Sin Cara backstage. Where they got the masks, I would get him and Kalisto mixed up a little bit.
I know, because Sin Cara has a tattoo on his shoulder.
And I was only half listening at this point. I was a little distracted with it, because it was like, oh, it's a backstage moment. I don't really care. And then when it came on, I was like, oh, this is one of the top 10 moments. I was like, oh, really? All right, number 8, Carl Anderson beats Luke Harper in singles action, which you had. Number 7, super kick to Aiden English, and then a pin by Jey Uso. And amazingly, on the highlights I watched, they didn't feature that Uso's match at all. Really weird how some of the highlights, how they pick them. I know Hulu has issues where they don't show every match, but you'd want to show the Usos, sure.
Yeah.
All right, number 6, the Oscar lock, not surprisingly, we had that. Number 5, the big cast promo. Now, we've talked about recently how they've had promos a lot more frequently, and then number 8 is normally tends to be where Samoa Joe comes in. I did not think this was a good promo at all. And I haven't had a chance to watch it, but I did see on Twitter, Daniel Bryan actually had a response to that promo.
Yeah.
It's available on WWE.com where you can see it, and they said that was really good. So the worst promo gets top five, Daniel Bryan's promo gets nothing. So we'll watch that one later. Number four, The Disarmer by Becky Lynch. I liked how she reversed that move.
Yeah.
I thought Charlotte was going to win for
that
sure.
That would have been my fourth
one. I thought that was really good. Number three, Cheap Shot by Carmella on Oscar. Number two, This Pen Is Broken. And then he slaps Nakamura in the face. And that was a good one. And number one, Miz throws pancakes on the teammates and they turn on him and then he gets a midnight hour from the New Day. I thought that setup for that was terrible. I don't know what Miz thought he was doing.
You're happy, aren't you?
No, I wasn't impressed. No, I wasn't.
You don't like the New Day anymore?
I don't like the pancakes thing. I think you know I don't like that silly stuff. I don't like the... I don't like silly stuff. I don't like the New Day silly stuff. I don't like the trumpets. I don't like the pancakes. And I don't know why... I don't know what Miz thought he was doing. I assume he was trying to throw it on the other person. I didn't see which member
he
was.
He was trying to throw it on
was it,
Big E.
Oh, it was Big E? I yeah. don't know. I didn't like
Do you
that
like the Bootios cereal?
No, I don't like any of their silly stuff. All right, match nine, podcast of the week. All right, Mason, I don't think you have a podcast of the week. You've been too busy.
Oh, yeah.
All right, that's fine. I got a podcast of the week. The AIW Pro Wrestling Podcast, The Card Is Going to Change. And episode 100. And Swoggle interviews John Thorne. Now, when we were at VCW on Saturday, as we left, I actually went over to him and said, we saw you at AIW over Christmas. I love the AIW podcast. And then 2 days later, this episode dropped. So it was the 100th episode from an indie organization, and it talks about what goes on behind the scenes. Now, on there, when you look on iTunes, it actually says this: an unprecedented, honest look inside the world of independent professional wrestling as the promoters of Absolutely Intense Wrestling, John Thorne, and Chris Chandler Biggins Bryan join Steve Guy to discuss the trials and tribulations of operating an independent wrestling company in the modern era. I tell you what I would love, Mason, if the guys at Nova Pro did the same thing. I would love to hear a behind-the-scenes thing when they talk about what happens
yeah.
afterwards. They talk about things like, oh, on the day of the match, this person didn't turn up, and then this is what we had to try and do. We had to make lots of phone calls to try and get this person in. And they talk about a lot of different things. I really wish Nova Pro would do one as well. It's really cool.
For the first event.
And I can do it for every event.
Yeah.
But no, they talk about that stuff, and they talk about when they went down to WrestleMania. And I'm going to say, I only subscribed to this because I wanted to listen to it before we went to AIW, so I could find out a little about them. We're in June now, 6 months later, and I'm still subscribed to them, and I love it. Particularly Swoggle. I think his laugh is very... He has a great laugh. It's really interesting to listen to. You can't listen to this one. This is not a PG one, for sure. But any moms or dads who are listening, this is one definitely for you as well. 116 five-star reviews. So that's the most of any that we've had so far. One one-star review. I'm going to say that that's probably somebody who's just being mean. Probably a wrestler who wasn't happy when they went there. Top review, most helpful review said, great look at the wild world of AIW and indie wrestling. Amazing. And yeah, I think that's definitely one to check out. There's a lot of wrestlers there that we recognize. There is people who've been there, who've appeared at other ones we've seen. Jimmy Jacobs was there as well, I think, when we were there.
Yeah,
and didn't we also say that Hot Sauce Tracy Williams was there as well?
Yeah, Hot Sauce was. Uh-huh.
So there's a few people who we got to see.
Jeez.
Tim Dodds was there. We had to leave early because we were traveling back the next. And he was also appearing this weekend as well. So yeah, there was definitely some crossover and appeal. So people who got Nova Pro as well, or people who are interested in indie wrestling, I think you'd be interested in that one. It tends to be fairly short. It's always under an hour. So it's one that's fairly easy to listen to.
It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Music was Zigzag by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0, http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/.